Let's talk about this this fertilizer market. It certainly has been a time of change.
Absolutely. A lot of things still going on around the world that we're tracking pretty closely. Fortunately, some of them haven't played out. Unfortunately, some of the others have. And just like everything in the fertilizer world, we got to watch overseas and see what's going on there to get a little bit of direction of what's happening here at home.
So with all the stuff going on in the Middle East, some of the headlines have gone away from what's going on in Ukraine, Russia. Is that is there something we should be alert to there?
Well, the Russia-Ukraine is obviously a big situation. It's still ongoing. You're right. It's kind of left the news cycle. The new phone story to cover is obviously the Israel-Hamas war. But the Russia-Ukraine situation is still in place. We're still watching it very closely. Keep in mind, Russia is a major exporter of nitrogen, phosphate, potash. They're a major player in all of them. Exports are still flowing, still no problems, but we know how quickly that can change. The Israel-Hamas situation is, there's one direct situation we've got to watch and a lot of indirect. The direct being that, and a lot of people don't know this, Israel is the fourth largest potash exporter in the world. Now, a very, very far cry from what Canada is, right? Mm-hmm. But they are still a big part of their top five countries, so we got to watch that. Fortunately, no rockets, nothing like that has impacted it. It only takes one. So we're watching it very closely. Indirectly, it is the fear that this war goes beyond their borders. If all of a sudden, Turkey and Syria and countries like this, but what we're really talking about is Iran. And the reason we say that is if Iran enters the mix, the U.S. is going to protect its ally. And now all of a sudden we're talking about the Persian Gulf. Now, if that happens, the world is going to be talking about oil shipments. That's what's going to be in the news cycle. From a farming standpoint, there's a tremendous amount of nitrogen that flows through that Persian Gulf. I think it's the Strait of Hormuz that's right there. And if those two, or if the U.S. and Iran are battling, it gets very hard to justify taking your vessel up through there because who knows where the next missile might strike. So that's something we're watching very, very closely.
Are there any other trouble spots you're paying attention to?
The Chinese government has stepped in here recently. They've restricted the export of both phosphate and urea. Urea, they are a major player most times, normally 5 to 5.5 million tons of exports per year. The government stepped in and said, no more, stop. We're going to keep tons home. We're going to fill everybody at home, drop the price. They just did the same thing on the phosphate. And the thing that hurts really there, China is the world's largest producer of DAPMAP, and they are the world's leading exporter of DAPMAP in normal times. So losing them, having those restrictions put in place, rebalanced and tightened that S&D literally within moments of that announcement that's going out.
So what was the fall fertilizer season like here in the States?
So far, so good. It's still too early to sit there and say it's a success, a failure, or anything like that. Though a lot of the signs that we are seeing is success. We're hearing a lot of good phosphate and potash demand. Sounds like farmers are really putting it down on the ground. Maybe not quite as low a price as what they wanted, but when you compare it to last spring of 22, phenomenal values. And grain prices are holding up to a certain extent. Anhydrous sounds like it's pretty good. Some southern states are still a little too warm. But so far, everything is indicating it should be a very, very good fall run.
So, river's been open. We've had some water level issues in the south and those kind of things. Are we setting up that product in place for next spring?
There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and that's why we have to talk about that. We're going to spend a lot of the winter, obviously, talking about overseas situations, but that logistical issue is something at home that we really need to pay attention to, and it's a big reason why we need to talk to our supplier, our retailers, more constant than not. We got some good rains that came through a couple weeks ago. That kind of helped fill the waterways. That's a good short-term boost, but that's the problem. It's only a short-term. We need those constant rains coming through to keep the water levels up. We also need a lot of snowpack like we had last winter in the north to refill those tributaries. So, fortunately, it appears, at least short-term, the worst situation on the river system is behind us. That doesn't mean that there aren't stories coming ahead that might impact us again.
So what I'm hearing from you is that we need to be talking to that retailer now.
Absolutely. It's something that we always advocate for, even more so today. We look at it and we can sit there and say, listen, we don't want to take the price risk. We'll need it as a retailer. And they're seeing the logistical issues. And like I said, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done before we get to next spring to get that application period going. I'm not saying that we need to go to the retailer and just buy whatever they tell you to buy and, you know, give them all the information, but we need to have those conversations because the more information they have from you, the better they can plan to have product in place for when you need it. So I understand for some, that's a little bit of an adversarial relationship. I think we need to look at it more as a partnership. The supply chain, it needs help. So hopefully people will take that advice and have a few more conversations.